Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I am your host, Martin. I am joined by Sydney.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about the Mavericks' win tonight against the Golden State Warriors, 134-132. Remember, if you like the show, please give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast.
I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
Have I told you guys how good this Mavericks team is?
Oh my God, shut
like,
up.
Can we give a little respect to these role players?
Oh God,
just
this team
for
is...
a second. Okay.
Look.
I've been saying it all along. You guys just need to show some faith in this roster. They're good.
No, they're not.
They just, you know,
they survived tonight. Yeah. Steph Curry was unbelievable. And he basically, if he wasn't on fire like he was tonight, this would have been a double-digit victory.
Yeah, the Mavs would have blown them out.
Yeah, but the way Steph Curry was shooting the basketball, and I love how the broadcast, and I love Van Gundy and Mark Jackson.
Me too.
They're one of my favorites.
And Mike Breen.
Yeah, well, he's really the one carrying them. But one thing they talked about is how the Mavericks needed to do a better job on Steph. And I'm like, some of these shots he's shooting, like they are forcing him to shoot step to the side, step back, off the dribble threes. These are threes that in the past, this is what you would want a team to force a player to do. And that's what they force him to do. And he swishes them. Yeah, he's going to get open shots. Every player, doesn't matter how good your defense is, some shots are just going to be open. And he made those ones too. But then he shot one from like 35 feet,
the
almost
logo.
Half court. Yeah. And swish that. It's like, what do you expect them to do? So Steph was phenomenal. He had 57 points tonight. And
I think, you know, they were talking about forcing him to pass the ball, like getting the ball out of his hands. And my interpretation of watching him play is that normally the shots that he takes, a player would not normally take those shots. Like in that situation, the player would be forced to pass it to someone else. But he takes those shots and, you know, tonight, and usually he makes those shots. So he's just a tough guard. It's like, or a tough guard. It's like Lucas said in his post-game interview, it was suffering to watch a play against Curry because every time he shot it, he thought it was going to go in. And it did pretty much every time.
Yeah. So I thought the Mavericks, I mean, their defense is terrible. And it's been terrible all season. But I'm not sure I want to judge the Mavericks' defense based on this game.
Yeah.
I mean,
Curry going off for 57, that's going to hurt your numbers.
Yes. They shot like 54% from the field and 45% from three, I think.
Let me see. 44.4.
Yeah. So anytime a team shoots over 50% from the field and over 40% from three, you're typically going to lose. But a lot of that was Curry. Draymond had 2 points tonight. Now, he did have 15 assists. And I'm sorry, but don't get me wrong. I like Draymond. But can we stop talking about him the entire broadcast? It was Draymond.
Well, it was either Draymond or Curry.
Yes. Yeah. And I know Draymond gets a lot of assists, but let's be honest, folks. His passes are to Steph off of a curl. Okay, could average 7 assists a game if I played with Steph Curry and I was the play initiator.
You would be Steph Curry.
No, I would not.
I would be the Draymond or something.
This did not go the direction I was going to go. All right, so what are your thoughts about the Mavericks win tonight?
Okay, so we should probably talk about major things first, but one little thing that I noticed, and we've kind of talked about this in the past few games, is that Carlisle is really tightening the rotation.
Yeah.
Like, usually off the bench, it's Hardaway automatically, and then maybe 2 or 3 other players. Like, tonight, Hardaway played, and then Powell, Brunson, and Burke, but Burke played like 5 minutes. And he's, you know, and so, and then it was really just Powell, Brunson, and Hardaway off the bench. Like, James Johnson hasn't played in forever.
Cauley-Stein
hasn't played really at all. He didn't play tonight. And then, you know, some of their rookies, a lot of them got sent down. But he's really tightening the rotation. And I think it kind of just, it shows, like, if they're going to win, we can't do this, like, playing guys these weird minutes and playing every single player on the roster like he sometimes likes to do. He's really just got to ride the guys to get a win. That was just a little thing I noticed. Obviously, the thing we should talk about is Luka, but
No. We'll get to Luka because obviously that's going to take a lot more time to talk about. But I think that's actually a really good point, and I've been thinking about that over the last couple of games because if you look tonight, Hardaway was a minus 20. in a 2-point win.
Yeah, he went 3 for 15. So,
and not even just the stats, just while he was on the court, they were a -20, Jaylen a -7, -14. And that's been a pretty reoccurring theme with the bench unit over the last couple of games, is the Mavs starters are pretty decent.
Yeah.
They're able to keep the lead, but when the bench rotation starts to come in, the plus minus numbers start to really go down, and their bench just isn't making good plays. Now, we can talk about roster and all that crap. We know they don't have a good team.
Yeah,
and
we already talked about that last
And episode, so their roster...
Yeah, this is what you have to do.
Yeah, their bench unit just isn't very strong right now. And as much as Hardaway... The thing with Hardaway, man, it's all or nothing for him. You know, you're either going to get on fire Hardaway, or you're going to get...
Death.
I mean, essentially. And he's such a negative on the defensive side that when he's not hitting his shots, you know, it's hard to keep him out there. But at the same time, because he can get on fire on any moment, any stretch of the game, you got to keep playing him. Because at any moment, he can carry you.
Well, that's why I think he's great coming off the bench. Because it's a luxury to have a guy that can catch on fire and can drop 20 or 30 any night. But he's off the bench. Like, you're not relying on him as a starter to start the game, set the tone, play those minutes, and, you know, get the team going. It's more like he comes off the bench, and if he's on fire, it's like, oh, great, we have this guy off the bench, and he's on fire tonight. So I think that's why he's better off the bench, because then he becomes more of a luxury rather than a liability, I think, when he starts. But yeah, on defense, he gets lost a lot. And it's like, it's just funny at this point sometimes to
sometimes
watch.
It's embarrassing.
To watch some of the decisions he makes. It's like, well, that was cute. But I mean, it was like, okay, we're going to do that now. But, you know, it's just not his strength. And then again, that's why I think he's better off the bench, because I think that better suits his strengths. It plays to his strengths rather than highlighting his weaknesses. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to figure something out, because Luka played 38 minutes, and I know that's killing Carlisle. Carlisle wants to keep Luka around 34, like 35. And I'm all for that. And now, I do agree there are certain games, like tonight, that you want to play him more. Personally, that's what I would do. And then the games that you don't have to, you can give him a little bit more rest on those nights. Mm-hmm. But Luka lately has been 38 pretty much. Now, it's not like he's going to drop dead. Players used to do this. Dirk played 38 minutes a game, and he played all 82
games.
When
we were 21, we would play 5 hours of basketball.
So it's not like he's going to be hurt by this. He's going to be fine.
Yeah. But it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a storyline. Yeah.
Well, and you saw in the fourth quarter, he got about 30 seconds of rest.
Yeah.
Because as soon as... So, Luka was a plus 18. Nobody else sniffed double-digit plus minus.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So, Luka, when he was on the court, they were better. Even with Curry, because he played with Curry.
Yeah.
So, when Curry and Luka were on the court at the same time, and as hot as Curry was, the Mavericks were just a better team when Luka was out there. Let's talk about Luka.
Okay.
This is the segment.
I'm so glad that Luka had a good game on national television, because that's the worst when you're playing on national television and you suck. Like the last Warriors game, that was on, I think, ESPN, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
And they sucked. And it's like,
TNT. It was on TNT.
Yeah. And then they're already talking about Luka is out of shape, or Luka whines a lot, or Luka blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's nice for him to have a good game on national television to kind of show what he actually is. Like, he hasn't been a whiner like he was last year or in the beginning of this season. Like, he hasn't really done that at all lately. So it was just, I'm so glad that he showed out in this game.
You got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, look, part of being a franchise player is you got to take the negative and the positive. Now, some of the criticism that he's getting right now came out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, one morning I woke up and it was Luka's a bad leader.
Yeah.
He's a whiner. He's out of shape, blah, blah, blah. And it's amazing what your team's record would do.
Yeah.
There's a few people out there that recognize the truth of it. Paul Pierce was one of them.
Oh,
he said in the pregame, he's like, look, they just don't have a good roster.
Yeah.
And so there's only so much this kid can
do. Yeah, he's doing everything right.
But their roster isn't good. And so there are a lot of people out there that recognize the situation that Luka is in right now.
Truthers. They're truthers.
But it was just amazing how quickly people are starting to turn on him, yeah. all because the team's record.
Well, that's what, I mean, it's natural, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, Luka doesn't care.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's going to be fine, but I just thought that was amazing how quickly that turned. But I don't know what more you can ask from him. Like, what more can you ask from this guy? 42 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists.
Well, according to Tim Kalishaw, he needs to work on his three-point shooting because that's what the Mavericks... That's just the key to this Mavericks team being better, is Luka being better.
Well, it was sarcasm. Okay, yeah. All right. Look, Luka's three-point shooting, he's shooting 31% on the season. That's what he shot last year.
Tonight.
I don't know.
It's got to be after tonight.
It was 29%. Yeah. Before the game.
And he
went
7 for 12, so that's got to be after tonight.
I haven't looked specifically. I was just rounding up.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm assuming... Okay. not that fascinating. It's just what you do.
It was an interesting strategy.
So I'm assuming it's going to be over 30% after tonight. That's just what he is right now.
Yeah.
And we can sit here and say he's got to be better, blah, blah, blah. He does, and he will. The kind of threes that he shoots, he's never going to be a 40% three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's not Steph.
He's not.
Steph can shoot those and be...
Steph is the greatest
shooter.
That's why he's
Steph. Yeah.
He's the greatest shooter to ever play the game. Okay? Yeah. There's no argument to that. He's just not... That's not his game. But when you need him, he makes them.
Man, and that three-pointer at... It was... I don't know.
The out of bounds one?
There was like a minute left or something. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. When the ball went out of bounds. Yeah. There was like a minute left and man, he just drilled it. It was clutch. Again, it was just so awesome. Yeah.
And the Mavericks really got a break on that out of bounds. Now, I thought Draymond fouled Porzingis before that and they didn't call a foul. But
maybe that's why they didn't call the out of bounds.
But it was clearly out of bounds and Luka got it, made the three. The Mavericks haven't gotten a lot of breaks this year.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just going to go your way. And for the Mavericks, it just hasn't been going their way all season. And this game, it happened to go their way. Now, I thought the no-call foul on Josh Richardson, I thought it was a foul. I know that Oubre or whoever it was hit the ball, but I thought there was a lot of contact on the arm despite that. And
I didn't think it was a lot. It was as much contact as you... As you say,
like anytime
like
you're swiping,
he barely like tapped his elbow.
Yeah, but anytime you're swiping and you hit a guy's arm, it's a foul. Now, just because it's the situation of the game, doesn't mean it wasn't a foul. So, anyways, regardless,
well,
they didn't
I thought
hit that
it was
one.
A foul after, like after he knocked the ball out, then he swept across his arms. But anyways.
But yeah, Luka was phenomenal. He's going toe-to-toe with Steph. And, well, I mean, not really. I mean, Steph had 57.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had 42 and 11 assists.
And a steal.
A steal. His defense has been great this year.
Oh, yeah. And they even commented on that. Yeah. And I was like, yay.
Yeah, his defense has been great. And the whole hate on Luka's defense has got to stop.
Well, he's been different this year than in previous years. I will say, yeah, in previous years, he was not a great defender. And you can see why, because just the effort that he puts forth this year makes him better. And so I think when I hear people say he whines a lot, he's a terrible defender or whatever, it's like, well, that just tells me that you don't really watch the Mavericks because, again, he stopped whining, you know, probably a dozen or so games ago. His defense, I mean, well, yeah, he's not LeBron, but I mean, his effort is there. He's not, you're not really going to blow by him a lot. You can see that he's making a lot of defensive plays. So it was just, it was good to see that because the ones that say that, it's like, well, you just don't watch then.
Because
that's not really what he's like this year.
Yep. So what do you think of that final play where he got doubled and he quickly, no hesitation, gave the ball to Kleba?
I mean, I was surprised that he passed it to Kleba, even though he's always been willing to pass to teammates in the past. So it's not like I should have been surprised. But I was surprised. But Kleba hits big shots. I mean, aside from his bubble struggles, he's hit some big shots. And he did that. I mean, that sealed the game.
Kleba is a big-time shot maker. And these... So Kleba is the kind of role player that ultimately helps you win championships.
Yeah, y'all need to put some respect on these role players' names.
No.
Okay.
Kleba, I really believe Kleba is a really good role player.
Yeah.
Now, he has struggled defensively since he's come back from COVID.
Yeah.
You can tell he does not have the same lateral quickness, the same... He just doesn't have a good first step on defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll work that in. We know Kleba's a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
But Kleba hits big time shots when you need him. He's one of the few Mavericks on this team that actually hits big time shots. Dorian does too. One or two. I know notably he hit the Lakers shot last year.
Yeah.
But he's hit a few.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Kleba has hit several.
Yeah, I really like Kleba. I don't know if anyone has said this, and I don't know how stupid I'm going to sound when I say it, but I kind of think that Kleba is a lot like Draymond Green. So hear me out. Okay. Because he has that defensive versatility. Like, Draymond can guard pretty much any position, and Kleba can too. Now, I don't know if you want him on any position like the entire game, but in terms of switches or even just, you know, for spot minutes or whatever, he's a really versatile defender. He's a big time player. I just like there are I think Draymond is on another level, but that same type of player where he just keeps things moving. He hits big shots. He makes good plays. He's a versatile defender. I think he's just that kind of player that you want on a team.
Well, Draymond's a champion, and he's a major part of a dynasty.
Yeah.
So Draymond, as much as I would love to have Draymond on this team.
Draymond.
I think he's a little bit overrated on his on ball defense when he gets switched, but I think he's really good enough to guard a guard if he does get switched. But he can get blown past. He does now for post defense. Mm-hmm. He's tops in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He won Defensive Player of the Year just from his post defense alone. Now, his help side defense and his communication.
Yeah. And his intelligence.
That's really where it impacts. Now, the Mavericks did score 134 points, so it's hard to say.
Well, you know, the one out there with
Kelly. It's one game. Yeah, he had 6 steals and 4 blocks tonight. Now, some of these steals were just kind of, well, okay, they were bad passes by Luka, but it was really good timing.
Some of them he made the steal.
Yeah. Porzingis had 18 points, 10 rebounds. Do you have any thoughts on him?
I thought he played well. I mean, it wasn't like a standout game, but I mean, 7 for 18, that's
not good.
I feel like this was kind of a Porzingis game, you know, like he's a cog in the wheel and he can be like kind of a, I guess, their second scorer right now. We've already shared our thoughts on if he's really like that second star, but you know, you got the injury and all that, so who knows. But I thought this was like a Porzingis game. I mean, would it be nice if he was a 25-point scorer? Yeah, but I don't think he is right now, so this is kind of what I would expect from Porzingis.
I think you've seen the struggles on the defensive end of the court right now with him.
Yeah, and you know what? So in tomorrow's episode of Dallas Hoops Fancast, I have an interview with a doctor of physical therapy, and we talk about the impact that these injuries can have on a player. And we talk specifically about the defense. I don't want to get too much into it now, but you can see the way that Porzingis moves, that those injuries are still bothering him. Like, that's one specific area where it definitely is still bothering him.
So I've looked at some games pre-injury.
Mm-hmm.
He struggles to stay in front of guards, and he struggles with his angles.
Yeah, I mean, but to stay in front of guards, he's 7'3".
Yes, but the league, like, but that's the problem
with
the league today is your center has to be able to switch or get stuck on a guard. Doesn't have to shut him down, but it has to provide some kind of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And Porzingis struggles to do that. Mainly, it's because he has bad timing and angling.
Yeah.
And he gets a little jumpy. He jumps for pump fakes
pretty often. Blocker. Yeah, yeah.
But he has really bad angles. And you saw one in the game tonight where Draymond went to set a screen and Porzingis like went and sat on the Golden State bench or something. Like, he went one direction and the screen was the other way where, and Curry went. And
he wasn't guarding anyone. Yeah. He wasn't guarding Curry and he wasn't guarding Draymond.
Dude,
he
was where are you going? No man's
land. Like, yeah.
Draymond was on the right side of the Mavs defender who was guarding Steph, which would lead you to believe that Curry is going to his left to use the screen. And you were talking to Kerr.
He was just like in the middle of everything.
And it's like, still, sometimes I think he struggles with that.
I would say it's not like Draymond is a threat out there. So if we go back and watch, it's possible that was their scheme. I don't know that. It could have also no scheme been a colossal mistake. Yeah. But
I don't think there's any defensive scheme to where you go the opposite direction of the ball handler.
Maybe they're just trying to throw them off by... No,
if anybody was thrown off, it was Porzingis.
You think we're playing bad defense, but in reality, it was
terrible.
We're doing a hedge roll of the side drop box and one is what that was. So you just need to watch the film is all. That's all I'll say about that.
Okay.
Next.
My point being, he struggled. He's struggling on the defensive end of the court. You saw it in the bubble where the Mavericks were scoring like crazy. He was scoring like crazy, but they couldn't get a stop if their light depended on it. Now, it's not all on him. The Mavericks as a team are bad.
Oh, my God.
Team.
Tonight, there were so many miscommunications or just no communicate where the rim is like wide open.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Josh Richardson had 17 points. I don't remember one of them.
No, he hit a big three.
I don't remember
in the fourth quarter.
Like I looked at this box score and I saw Kleba was 16. I remember the 1-3, and that was the end of the game.
Yeah,
Porzingis with 18. I don't remember him being part of the game. Richardson was 17, and I'm like, I remember early on he hit a couple threes. He was 4 of 6 from three. He's gonna have to get his 3-point shooting better. Like I'm not asking him to be a 40%. Free throw or a 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
But you can't be 23% or whatever ridiculous number he's at this year.
This year he's shooting 27.3. I think that's before this game.
That's got to be a career low or something.
It is actually. Yeah. Last year he shot 34. Before that it was 36.
That's all you're asking from him is to be an average 3-point shooter to put some pressure on the defense. And tonight, 4 of 6, so you'll see his percentages bump up. But he's got to get some kind of rhythm going, some kind of roll going, get confidence back in his 3-point shot. Because defensively, he really does have an impact. Now, tonight, there was nothing you can do to Steph.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. Like, it just was the way it was going to be. And the Warriors put up a lot of points. I'm not making excuses for the Mavericks, but I'm not going to judge their defense based on this game.
Yeah, I mean, well, we don't have to because we already know they're not a great defensive team. Right. So I think, you know, the not really noticing Josh Richardson, you know, those kind of players.
You mean Jason Richardson.
making impact plays. I think that's really just a symptom of being so enamored with Luka Doncic and just watching him the whole game. I think you just had stars in your eyes. And so you were just paying attention to him and you didn't see.
Oh. One thing I noticed is...
His handsomeness.
No. Luka has to fight tooth and nail to get his buckets.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the Warriors do have a lot of wing defenders. They had a lot of wing depth.
Yeah.
But this is just the whole season thing where he's got to fight tooth and nail to get shots. And you're seeing opposing players, best players... They're having a field day on the Mavericks. And I noticed Curry tonight, again, Curry was on fire. Mm-hmm. And he hit a lot of tough ones. But he also got so many wide open threes.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of that is because the Mavs just didn't play good defense. And then also, there's not really a lot of players on the Mavs that defenses have to account
for. And that's my point there. Is like, I wish the Mavericks would take a little bit from the playbook of the Warrior. This is kind of going back to the Mavericks needing another playmaker to alleviate because Luka had 42 and 11. Whereas with the Warriors, Curry doesn't have to worry about passing. I'm not saying he's a selfish player. He's a very unselfish player, but he doesn't have to worry about running the offense. Draymond does that.
Yeah.
Draymond had 15 assists back-to-back games with like 14, 15 assists.
Yeah.
He's the one initiating the offense, passing it to guys to get them open. Curry can only focus on scoring the basketball.
Yeah, and he plays off the ball a lot.
Yeah. And I think having another playmaker would really help Luka in that regard. You don't want Luka playing off the ball a lot, but to give him a couple of
other options.
Plays where he can come off a curl. Yeah. Like, can we get this man a catch and shoot three? You know, like occasionally he had two tonight, made them both.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like he doesn't get any catch and shoot threes because they don't have anybody that can make a pass.
Yeah. Well, I think And I've said it like a million times, when the Mavs are playing their best when they have really good player movement. And there was one particular play tonight where Luka, had to drive and was about to pull up for a really tough contested shot at the elbow. And then right then, Dorian cut to the basket and Luka was able to pass it to him for pretty much an open layup. And it's just, that's why that player movement is so helpful, because Luka will find those guys and they'll get easier shots and he won't have to create everything and take every shot. But sometimes their player movement just isn't there. And we talk about ball movement, but first, you know, with them, sometimes they just don't move enough for the ball to find an open guy.
There's no movement. There's no reliable.
Some games it's great, and those are the games where they're good and they win. But then the games where they don't move, that's when they're stagnant. And, you know, like their last game against the Warriors.
Well, what you're seeing with the Mavericks' three-point shooting, it has been going up over the last three games. The Atlanta game and then the last two against the Warriors. So hopefully, because they are dead last in the league in three-point percentage.
It can only get better from here.
It can only get better. So hopefully Richardson, it can be around 34%. That's all you're asking for. Dorian can go back to his 37-38% that he was last year. Porzingis can be a three-point shooter. And
Dorian is shooting 33. Again, that's before this game. Last year, he shot 38, which really was an outlier. So who knows if... Maybe this is who he is, and last season he was just on fire.
I think he's better than 33%. I think Dorian's a 37-38% three-point shooter, especially because most of his threes are corner threes. And so that's why his percentages can be up a little bit higher than normal, because he shoots a lot of the corner. So I think he can go up a couple of percentages. He's had a rough season with COVID. I don't think the Mavericks are the worst three-point shooting team in the league. Now, I don't think... they are very good, though. They just don't have reliable three-point shooters. And that's really weird to say when you have Porzingis out on the court. And Porzingis is one of their worst three-point shooters.
Yeah, he's shooting like 32%, I think.
And he's supposed to be the floor spacer.
He's the unicorn.
He's supposed to be the guy that the opposing team doesn't want to have the open shot. Like when you double Luka and it goes to Porzingis, it's like an automatic bucket. And it just hasn't been the case this year, or really since we got him on his three-point shooting, just hasn't been there. So I don't know what kind of trend that's going to show. Hopefully, over the next couple of games, their three-point shooting can be hot and they can win a couple of games. But the way the season has gone is when their role players are hitting their shots, the Mavericks win a couple of games.
They look amazing.
Yes. And then they start missing their shots because these guys aren't actually very good. And then they lose four in a row or five in a row or whatever the case. Any other thoughts on this game?
I don't think so. I thought it was funny when Luka was in his post-game interview said that he couldn't make a shot in the pool. And Rachel Nichols was like, it's in the ocean. It's like, oh yeah. And then she was like, so you're 14th in the West right now. I'm like, thanks, Rachel. Trying to have a good moment here. Gotta remind us of all this stuff. So
there's one other thing I wanted to talk about that's been happening with the Mavericks really the last 2 years, and it's becoming a real concern for me, because at some point they're gonna have to fix it, because if they don't, they're just not ever going to be very good. And that is, one, allowing sucky guys to have career nights.
To go off.
So tonight it was Kent Bazemore. Averages 5 points on the year.
20.
He had 20.
7 for 11. Wow.
Yes. And this has been a common theme for the Mavericks the last two seasons, where a role player on the opposing team goes off. Sometimes it's several, like in the last game against the same Warriors team. And the Mavericks aren't good enough defensively. You got to pick. You either hold down the star and make the opposing players beat you, or you let the star get his and nobody else. Yeah. And that's really the strategy that you have to play, because these stars are really good at creating offense. The Mavericks don't do either, and that's been a concern, because they have to stop that, or they're going to start.
Yeah.
They're always going to be a bad defensive team.
I wonder if this is just, I wonder if like every NBA team has this problem where in a random game in January, they're like, oh, of course, you know, Rodney Magruder is going off against us.
Like, it used to be particular players. Like with the Mavs.
Yeah, Ramon Sessions. DJ Augustine.
It used to be random players, but with the Mavs the last two seasons, it's every team has a random guy.
Yeah.
So it's not like Kent Bazemore, the next time they play the Warriors, is going to go off. It'll probably be Brad Wanamaker. He'll have 25 or something that night. Yeah. And that's kind of been the problem for the Mavericks. The other problem is... And I don't know what the solution is because I don't think they can do anything about it. It's the field goal percentage that opposing teams hit against Dallas late in games, especially when Dallas is up. They can never just have a regular ending to a game.
Yeah. I mean, their defense in those situations, like the team is trying to score quickly and the Mavericks, their defense just isn't tight enough and it's not instinctive enough to make it's those terrible. Quick decisions.
Yes.
So,
I understand their defense is poor. Like, whenever a team is scoring really, really quickly, Dallas really
struggles. They just don't adjust.
Yes, they cannot stop anybody, and the team will get a bucket in 2 seconds. And you just like you just need just 10 more seconds to run off that clock to make it a little bit more breathable. And you saw that tonight where Steph, I told you when it was a timeout, what was going to happen, that they're going to call a play, Steph's going to shoot a three, 2 seconds are going to go off that clock.
And that's because, what happened.
And that's because that's what happens to this Mavericks the last two seasons is the field goal. It's not just the bad defense. The percentages are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, and we were talking about it last year, at some point these percentages have to start going down because there's no way teams can continue to shoot this high of a percentage against the Mavericks late in games. The Mavericks can never just breathe. Like, sometimes they play great defense and the guy just jacks up a three and it swishes and it's just, it's unbelievable. So that's been a concern for me, but it's like, you know, we're 10 and 14, so... I have a lot of concerns.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of them, but I'm just glad that they won tonight.
Yes, all right. So what's our timing? I don't want to keep everybody up too late.
33.
It's already been 33 minutes?
Yeah.
It's a little bit longer than I wanted to go. Okay. So
we got lost in Luka Doncic's eyes.
We'll end it there. You're acting like a weirdo. The Mavericks' next game is Monday against the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are 6-17. However, the way the Mavericks have played this season, you cannot take that for granted. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wolves came in like the Bulls and just handed it to the Mavericks. So
they got to get some consistency.
Their
effort and focus is so inconsistent. And, you know, that's why they go back and forth like this with winning and losing, because some games they just don't show up.
So the next three are Minnesota, Atlanta, and the Pelicans. It would be lovely if they won all three of them.
Lovely.
So, anyways, that's all we got for you guys tonight. Tomorrow we will be doing our normal fan cast podcast. And until then, we will talk to you later.
Bye.